Tonight, the face-to-face debate, no holds barred.
Everybody knows he's a liar.
But you,
I just want to make sure.
Joe, you're the liar.
I want to make sure.
You ordered last in your class, not first in your class.
Donald Trump and Joe Biden clashing, from COVID-19 to jobs to race.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists?
Non-stop bickering on the issues, as well as personal insults.
You're the worst president America has ever had. Come on.
Who came out on top? Our powerhouse political team ready to break it down. This special edition of Nightline starts right now.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. The first high-stakes presidential showdown, throwing jabs and talking over each other, slinging insults on both sides. So how did Donald Trump and Joe Biden do? For the very latest, we go straight to ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Jonathan Carl. John.
Byron, quite frankly, this debate was a total mess. From the president, you had very little offered in the way of a coherent vision of what he would do over the next 4 years. A lot of bullying, serial interrupting of the moderator. From the vice president, you had an incredible litany of insults aimed at the president. He called him a clown, a racist, Putin's puppet, a fool. At one point, he exclaimed, "Will you shut up, man?" I mean, this debate was not something that was uplifting in any way, very little by way of substance, much more heavy on insults. You could argue that neither man won the debate, and in that sense, the real loser was Donald Trump, because he came in trailing badly. He needed to change the dynamic, change the trajectory of the race, and it's hard to see that anything that he did in this debate will do that.
Our thanks to John. Now, more on that contentious matchup, here's ABC's Janae Norman.
If you were a voter who wanted to hear where the presidential candidate stood on the issues,
Why would you answer that question? Because the question is, that would be hard to do tonight.
Donald Trump and Joe Biden constantly interrupting each other.
Everything he's saying so far is simply a lie. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
But you,
I just want to make sure. I want to make sure.
You ordered last in your class, not first in your class.
President,
why did you do it over
because you weren't president screwing things up.
You were a senator. And
you're the worst
way,
president America has ever had.
With polls showing the president trailing in most battleground states, he came out swinging tonight.
But I'll tell you, Joe, you could never have done the job that we did. You don't have it in your blood. You could have never done that job.
Here. If I may ask my question, sir.
Moderator Chris Wallace of Fox News, tasked with trying to contain the melee.
I'm the moderator of this debate, and I would like you to let me ask my question.
First of all, I guess I'm debating you, not him.
It's hard to get any word in with this clown.
The country would be better served if we allowed both people to speak with fewer interruptions.
The president's taxes, a clear target, days after the New York Times bombshell reporting that the president had only paid $750 in federal income taxes.
Will you tell us how much you paid in federal income taxes in 2016 and 2017?
Millions of dollars.
You paid millions of dollars?
Millions of dollars,
so
yes.
Not $750.
Millions of dollars, and you'll get to see it.
Stark differences between the two candidates laid bare on the COVID-19 pandemic, an issue a majority of the country doesn't think the president has handled well.
Between 750 and 1,000 people a day are dying. When he was presented with that number, he said, "It is what it is. Well, it is what it is because you are who you are. That's why it is." The president has no plan.
We've done a great job. The only thing I haven't done a good job, and that's because of the fake news. No matter what you say to them, they give you bad press on it. It's just fake news. They give you good press, they give me bad press, because that's the way it is, unfortunately. But let me just tell you something. I don't care. I've gotten used to it.
This is the same man who told you by Easter this would be gone away. By the warm weather, it'd be gone. Miraculous. Like a miracle. And by the way, maybe you could inject some bleach in your arm, and that would take care of it. This is the same man.
That was said sarcastically, and you know that.
Some of the most contentious moments came during questions about racial tensions and policing.
This is a president who has used everything as a dog whistle to try to generate racist hatred, racist division. This is a man who, in fact, you talk about helping African Americans. One in 1,000 African Americans has been killed because of the coronavirus.
You have repeatedly criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups, sure, and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland.
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing to
specifically?
That,
do it.
Well,
go
ahead, say,
sir.
I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
right wing. Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right wing.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right wing problem. This is a left wing. This is a left wing problem.
White supremacists. Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it. Not
the president making his case for why voters should choose him.
The job that we've done, and I'll tell you something, some people say maybe the most important. By the end of the first term, I'll have approximately 300 federal judges and Court of Appeals judges, 300. And hopefully three great Supreme Court judges, justices. That is a record the likes of which very few people. And you know one of the reasons I'll have so many judges? Because President Obama and him left me 128 judges to fill.
Under this president, we become weaker, sicker, poorer, more divided, and more violent. When I was vice president, we inherited a recession. I was asked to fix it. I did. We left him a booming economy, and he caused a recession. With regard to being weaker, the fact is that I've gone head-to-head with Putin and made it clear to him we're not going to take any of his stuff. He's Putin's puppy. He still refuses to even say anything to Putin about the bounty on the heads of American soldiers.
On the topic of election integrity, the former vice president pledging to abide by the voters' choice.
His own Homeland Security director, as well as the FBI director, says there is no evidence at all that mail-in ballots are a source of being manipulated and cheating. They said that. This is all about trying to dissuade people from voting because he's trying to scare people into thinking that it's not going to be legitimate.
While the president continued his unfounded claims that the election will not be fair.
As far as the ballots are concerned, it's a disaster. There's fraud. They found them in creeks. They found some with the name Trump. Just happened to have the name Trump just the other day in a waste paper basket. This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen. It's a rigged election.
Millions of mail-in ballots have gone out. What are you going to do about it? And are you counting on the Supreme Court, including a Justice Barrett, to settle any dispute?
Yeah, I think I'm counting on them to look at the ballots, definitely.
We asked ABC News political director Rick Klein to fact-check some of the biggest moments.
President Trump claimed that we are weeks away from a vaccine for COVID-19, but that is just not the case. Experts in his own administration and in the drug industry are estimating that it'll be at least mid-2021 before a vaccine is widely available to the public. Vice President Biden said that there are 100 million Americans who have pre-existing conditions and could therefore lose their coverage if Obamacare is tossed out. President Trump disputed that number, but it's actually correct. There are several estimates that say there are that many, maybe a third of all Americans who do have pre-existing conditions, although it should be noted that those who might be in danger of losing their coverage is probably around half that at most. President Trump said that problems with mail-in and absentee voting are so broad, so vast, that he won't be able to trust the legitimacy of the outcome of the election. That is beyond alarmist. There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud or any kind of widespread shortcomings in mail-in voting. There are a lot more states doing mail-in voting as a result of COVID-19, but there's no evidence that any of that will contribute to any questioning of the election's integrity itself.
More than a million Americans have already cast their ballots. With enthusiasm high on both sides, how many minds were changed tonight?
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
we've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightline, Trump versus Biden continues. Here now, Lindsay Davis.
Welcome back. Many people coming away feeling disappointed with tonight's debate. It was a contentious battle between the president and Joe Biden, frustration, interruptions, and a lot of low blows. With us now to break it all down is our powerhouse roundtable, Governor Chris Christie, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, CEO of Democracy for America, Yvette Simpson, and GOP political strategist Sarah Fagan. Governor Christie, of course, you helped President Trump prep for this debate. It was raw. It was contentious. Is this what was planned? And did this work ultimately for the president?
No, it was not what was planned. It was hotter than it was planned to be. I think that the advice was for the president to be aggressive, but it was hotter than it was planned to be. And so in that respect, to answer that question directly, no. Did it help the president? Listen, I think we're going to have to see as time goes on. These people get different perspectives on things as they move a day or two away from this. I don't know what the perspective will be. As I said earlier tonight, I think the problems that the president had tonight can potentially be fixed. You know, potentially you can turn that heat down a little bit.
And, Rahm, question to you. President Trump has, of course, been attacking Joe Biden for months, but this was the first time.
You noticed.
They were face-to-face, actually, in the same arena, because really it was so combative. How did you think that Joe Biden fared?
Well, I think your question has the answer. You know, if you're effective, in not only in a debate but a leader, you have to have many tools in the toolbox and be able to use them and adjust accordingly. You just can't have a hammer and just keep going at it, which is where I think one of the things that going into this, people are exhausted by Donald Trump, and nothing tonight changed their feeling of that exhaustion. If anything, they were like, enough already. I think Joe Biden had steadier moments when he looked right in the camera and talked about the American people, their family, their future. When he talked about how to handle COVID, what happened, the failure, and what we got to do to turn that around. And it's very hard to be steady. That said, he had steady moments, and at no time, and he also smiled, at no time did either Trump smile, look at the camera, talk to the American people about their lives, their future. Therefore, I think Trump lost this debate because he lost being who he is, Donald Trump.
Of course, the New York Times reported that Trump paid $750 in federal income taxes in 2016 and 2017, but Trump flat out denied it, instead saying that he paid millions in federal taxes. Sarah, do you think that Americans believe that answer, and how much does it matter?
Well, it was such a small portion of this debate. It's like hard to remember anything from the debate, but I think he handled himself fine in that questioning. It's consistent with what he's been saying for 4 years. I think people took away from this debate the tone, the tenor, the food fight. I don't think they're focused on any of the policy, and I think for President Trump, that's a problem. He needed to go out and make this a choice. He had moments where he did this in the debate, but then it devolved again. And so it's a status quo situation, the debate, which means he didn't get ahead, which is what he needed to do.
Yvette, of course, coronavirus was a big issue. 56% of Americans say they disapprove of President Trump's handling of it. Did you think that Joe Biden's attacks on the president and his handling landed, and were they effective?
I think they did. I mean, I think, you know, Donald Trump has continued to try to blame this on China. He's tried to say that he, you know, there would have been more deaths if Joe Biden was president. Nobody believes that. I mean, the reality is Joe Biden has provided real solutions about things that we can do now to prevent future deaths, which I thought was a great point to make. If we just require everyone to wear a mask, guess what? We cut that in half. Donald Trump had no rebuttal to that. What I loved Joe Biden did was to also point out how this affects Black Americans, which Donald Trump has not done. He did that in rebuttal to Donald Trump's claim that he's the best, president African Americans ever had. And I think he did a really good job of saying, you say you care so much about Black Americans. Well, they're being disproportionately hurt both by their life and their livelihoods by this pandemic, and you've done nothing to remedy that.
And Governor Christie, I mean, it was a direct question. President Trump was asked to denounce, condemn the white supremacist groups. He said at first, oh, sure, I'll do it. What do you want me to say exactly? And then all he ended up saying was stand back and stand by. Essentially, some might perceive it as a call to action. Why does he have such a difficult time? Why not condemn white supremacists?
No, I don't think he has a difficult time. He said it up top. Yes, I will. And he said it all the way back at Charlottesville. In his full statement on Charlottesville, he said, I denounce white supremacists and I denounce neo-Nazis. Listen, by that point with this debate, quite frankly, the heat was so high, they were both yelling at each other. Trump was yelling, Biden was yelling, Chris Wallace was yelling, trying to get in between the two of them, that, you know, I didn't perceive it that way. Yvette and I were talking, because I didn't even really hear exactly what he said at the very end. So, you know, I've heard him say this before, so I don't think he has any problem saying it. And he said it up top. Yes, yeah, sure, I will. Tell me exactly what you want to say. I think that was a little bit of Trump's sarcasm, too, because he feels like, as I've talked to him about this, he feels like he has denounced it a number of times. And when he said, yes, sure, I will, now what do you exactly want me to say? I believe that was Trump being sarcastic with Wallace. Like, what do I have to exactly say to get you to stop asking me? He feels frustrated that he feels like he has said a number of times that he denounces white supremacists and he denounces neo-Nazis. And I think that was him saying to Wallace, tell me exactly what you want me to say so I could put this to rest.
Yvette, your reaction to the standby, stand back.
The fear of white supremacy, the fear of what's happening in our country as it relates to black people has fueled the largest global civil rights movement ever time. And he can't say, he knows exactly who he's talking to. And I do think that that Proud Boys moment, which many people in my connection said, did you hear that? That stokes fear in the hearts of so many people. The idea that you're saying stand by for what? And we know how he feels about conceding this election. We know that those individuals take to heart what he's said that has fueled a lot of shootings that have happened. He knows that his words matter, and he said that intentionally, and that should stoke fear in the hearts of not just black Americans, but all Americans.
Thanks so much, The Roundtable. That is it for us tonight. Byron.
Thank you, Lindsay. And now some post-debate reactions from voters across America.
I thought Joe Biden was calm, cool, and collected while trying to debate a giant toddler, and that's an insult to toddlers. I watched it with my mom. She said her blood pressure was rising. I think this collectively was not good for the health of most Americans who watched it.
I intend to vote for President Trump because I believe that, you know, he has a strength that I don't see in the Joe Biden in the last 47 years. Trump has got an exuberant personality. Oftentimes it's caustic. But you know, at the same time, he is getting the things done.
I have not seen President Trump be a leader. And I want to see the next 4 years because I have children and my son, I don't want to see the same cycle repeating over and over. That's what I'm hoping for the next 4 years. A change must come and a change will come.
Voices of voters. Finally tonight, in regard to a neo-fascist organization that promotes and engages in political violence, the President of the United States said, and I quote, stand back and stand by. It was late Maya Angelou who said, when people show you who they are, believe them. That's Nightline for this evening. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.